Thank you so much again for teaching us, you know, all this thing and reminding us all the things that you have done. God bless you. Something came to mind. I was reading Romans chapter 6 when we talked about the baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's in the book of Matthew. And then I was reading Romans 6 yesterday, and it said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as we are baptized into Jesus Christ, we are baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So my question here is this. It's according to the scripture. We are baptized into Christ, you know, baptized into Jesus Christ. And you pointed out in the New Testament, in the Acts of the Apostles, when they were baptizing the people, they used the name of Jesus. They baptized them in Jesus Christ. And so in this Romans 6, it says we're baptized into Jesus Christ, and we were baptized into his death. So Jesus Christ, you know, we're baptized into him, and so we should walk in newness of life. So if we, is that the reason why now we're baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus rather than in the, because the name of Jesus is this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The name is Jesus Christ. Amen. So, and he just, you know, put like a lantern in my head and say, wow, this is good, you know, that we are all baptized into Jesus Christ. And we know we have two baptisms, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit, where we get a fire, you know. See, he that's coming after me is going to baptize. John said, I'll baptize you in water, but he that is coming after me, we baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so, can you expand a little bit on that? Amen.
All right. Well, thank you. I did say we can have questions and answers, and I don't have to be the only one to give the answers. If anybody else wants to chime in, I will give an answer, though, to this one. And I got to take us to two scriptures. And, you know, comparing scripture with scripture. So let's take a look at it. And again, not to be argumentative, let me set a background here. I tried to say this repeatedly yesterday. There is no controversy. This is not a topic to be argued or debated. You know, if you have any, you know, questions, the Bible says, well, the Lord will reveal even this unto you. So my recommendation to people is, look, after you've heard something which doesn't quite align with the way you thought you knew it, well, check it out from the scriptures. And then ask the Holy Spirit for answers. And here's the way I put it to people. That whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, that's what you need to hold on to. That's right. You know, whatever the Holy Spirit, if you ask him sincerely, he'll tell you, you know, give you the answers. And whatever he tells you, hold on to that. Because that's what you'll be responsible for. And you're going to be accountable to that. So, with that being said, let me read Matthew chapter 28. And you know, we also need to understand what is the purpose of baptism in the first place, you know, because people think it's, some people think it's a ritual. You know, Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, his disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, because all power is given unto me, commissioning you to go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So, someone might argue, and they will be correct, that Jesus said here, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And that is correct. But that's what is recorded here. Can't argue the scriptures. But then, what does it really mean when the disciples did something different? And you might say, is it something different? Or what is exactly the same thing? So that's the question. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, and everybody was pricked in their hearts and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter began to explain it to them. And he said, let the house, all the house of Israel, know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. That's Acts 2:36. Now, when they heard this, the Bible says they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And this is what Peter's answer was. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, and then they that gladly received the word were baptized. Remember, Matthew recorded Jesus as saying, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Peter stands up here speaking, by the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, answering the question, what shall you do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Well, you take those two scriptures, they got to be saying exactly the same thing. Otherwise, we might as well conclude that the Bible is contradicting itself. So, Matthew 28 and 20, and Acts 2 and 38, are saying exactly the same thing. We can't discountenance one in favor of the other. Matthew recorded it this way. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, recorded it this way. They both were moved. Bible saying the scripture came not by the will of man, but holy men of God, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, wrote the scriptures. So, if Matthew wrote his account of what Jesus said, Luke wrote his account of what Peter, speaking under the Holy Ghost, said, they can't be different. Now, if you keep that in your minds, what it then means is, if those two statements mean the same thing, then that begins to give you the revelation that if in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost means in the name of Jesus Christ, so those two sentences were telling people how to be baptized, then it's got to be that Jesus Christ, simple equation, right? It's got to be that Jesus Christ the name of Jesus equals the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's what it means. Because one sentence says it's one way, another sentence says it's another way. and they, we know they cannot be different. Got to be saying the same thing. You know, so basically, you know, I conclude that the name of Jesus Christ equals the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now, that being said, well, let's see a few places where they actually did that in the book of Acts and see what they actually did. You know, remember, you know, they had a commandment from Christ what to do. And, well, and they went out and were doing what Christ commanded them to do. But how did they do it? You know, the scriptures, you know, in Acts chapter 8, Philip, he went down to Samaria and he preached the gospel unto them. And many people, you know, many people were converted. They heard the gospel. They did all kinds of things, you know. And then there was a whole lot of revival going on. And they brought, you know, the apostles in, you know, to kind of give more credence to what they were preaching. And as they were preaching and bringing these people in, we're told that the name of Jesus Christ, you know, was what these people went about preaching. Listen to verse, Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, you know, both men and women. Now, in this particular place, we're told that they were preaching Jesus Christ. But we go down here to verse 14. Now, when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet, he was falling upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, so, where it was saying that they were baptized, you know, in verse 12, we now see that in verse 14 and verse 16, it's explaining to us that they were actually baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, it doesn't say here they were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's one place where you see that they were, you know, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, Peter went to the house of Cornelius. At one time, the Lord was showing him that, you know, gospel will reach to the Gentiles as well. And while Peter was talking to them, you know, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. You know, how did they know that the Holy Spirit fell upon them? Well, because they began to speak in tongues and magnify God. You know, so let's read Acts chapter 10 and verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which will have received the Holy Spirit as well as we did? So he was preaching to them. Now this was Peter that said on the day of Pentecost, how do you receive the Holy Ghost? They asked him. He said, well, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, the Lord took that sequence out of order in this particular case. You know, Cornelius and his house were listening to the scriptures as Peter was bringing it out. And before they got a chance to be
baptized in water. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, so somebody say, well, you gotta be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ before you receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Well, that's what Peter said. But in this case, Holy Spirit didn't do it quite like that. These people were baptized in the Holy Ghost first before they were baptized in water. And then Peter looked around and said, wow. You know, and he said, he's thinking, well, they should have been baptized in water first. But now I say, well, I mean, seeing that these people have received the Holy Ghost, now, can anyone forbid water that this should not be baptized because they have received the Holy Spirit? So water baptism really is an illustration of something that we have experienced. You know, water baptism by itself doesn't save anybody. You know, but if you have received Christ, then you will do it. And to demonstrate that we have been buried with him in baptism, Colossians chapter 2 and 12, and then risen again into newness of life. Now, so, and when Peter said, well, can anyone forbid water that this should not be baptized? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Well, that's another place where they were baptized in the name of the Lord. In one place, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here, baptized in the name of the Lord. Now, so far, we haven't seen where they were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then Paul, in Acts chapter 19, I'm just going to pick a few of these places. You know, he said that, you know, he met certain disciples, right? And he asked them, you know, while he was at Corinth, passed through the upper coast of Ephesus and finding certain disciples, said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, again, here's another point about, you know, whether Holy Ghost baptism is different from, you know, salvation. Because some people say you receive the Holy Ghost at the time that you are saved, and there is no other baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are actually some denominations that say that. They say, well, once you give your life to Christ, you've got the Holy Spirit, and that's it. You know, and they say there is no such thing necessary for you to be seeking again something called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because you already have the Holy Spirit. All right. Well, let's see what happened here. Paul found certain disciples, and he said unto them, now, these were believers, you know, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? In other words, from the time that you believed till now, have you received the Holy Ghost? Now, Paul would not be asking that question if these people were expected to have received the Holy Ghost baptism by the time they received Christ. You know, but otherwise, well, why is he asking the question? Well, from the time that you believed until now, have you received the Holy Ghost? So he's making it sound like it's a different encounter and a different experience from the one where they received Christ. And look at the answer that these people gave. They say, well, we have not even so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. We haven't even heard about it. What are you talking about? But they have given their lives to Christ. And they said, you know, because probably the people that preached to them didn't emphasize the Holy Spirit. So they said, well, you know, we are believers, but we didn't even too much hear about Holy Ghost. What is that all about? And Paul was surprised when he said they've never heard about it. He asked unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, well, unto John's baptism. And they said, ah. So Paul said unto them, well, okay. John verily baptized you with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, which is Jesus Christ. You know, and he was trying to explain to them. Now, when they heard this, these people were baptized again in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how they were baptized the first time by John, but when they heard that, look, they heard Paul's teaching, they said, well, we want to be baptized again. So, ladies and gentlemen, you can actually be baptized again. You know, for whatever reason, I don't know whether these people thought that, you know, they were baptized wrong or they need to be baptized again. You know, Paul, you know, was just explaining something to them. They said, well, we want to be baptized again. And now they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, that's another place again, you know, where they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them. They began to speak with tongues and prophesied. And so on and so forth. I mean, throughout the Acts of the Apostles, these same apostles that got the commandment from Christ to go and baptize everybody in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost went out carrying out that commandment. But how did they do it? They did it in the name of the Lord Jesus. They did it in the name of Jesus Christ all the time. You know, so that tells you something. It doesn't tell you that there is a disparity or a confusion. It actually tells you that, you know, the name of Jesus Christ is the same as the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because that's what they were told to do, and that's what they did. But how did they do it? Well, you know, they baptized people in the name of the Lord Jesus or in the name of Jesus Christ, or and so on and so forth. Now, what does that all mean? The question that Lady Ebon asked about, look, being baptized into Christ. Well, that's just the body of Christ. You know, but there is one baptism. There's one Father, one God, and so forth. You know, what the Holy Spirit is who brings us into the body of Christ. Can't do it any other way. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It brings us into the body of Christ. But then there is this other experience that we call baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, these people that followed Christ for 3.5 years, and some of the women and so forth, they were there on the day of Pentecost waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, some people have argued that, well, that was then, but this is now. Since that time, there is no need for any two separate experiences. Once you give your life to Christ, you got the Holy Spirit. And that's it. Well, we see in the story we just read in Acts chapter 19, that was not the case. All of those believers were after the cross, and they were after the day of Pentecost, and they had believed, and still they did not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it was explained to them. No, so we see the role that, you know, the right teaching plays, you know, in all of these things. Yes, they were talking about education and or revelation. Now, it doesn't mean that there is no teaching. It just means that it's not academic. That's what we're trying to convey. Sure, you need teachers. I mean, everybody, people have been instructed in righteousness from the beginning of the world till now. You know, I mean, somebody always helps somebody to try to figure out the Lord. I mean, Eli helped the little boy Samuel to try to figure out the voice of God. I mean, people got trained. Jesus himself was training, you know, his disciples for many years. Now, we have the Holy Spirit that can teach you now, according to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. He said, look, and this scripture doesn't mean that we won't have teachers, because God clothed teachers in the body of Christ. But what this scripture is saying is that you may have natural teachers or so forth, but the Holy Spirit is the express teacher. You know, that's what this verse is saying in 1 John, you know, chapter 2. You know, let me read it from verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you that you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, then you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. You can see also, you know, there's no denying of the Son or the Father. Son and Father right there. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Now, he said, these things I've written unto you concerning them that seduce you. I mean, how are they seducing them? Well, maybe try to tell them to be circumcised, or try to tell them to believe some wrong doctrine, whichever way. He didn't quite go into it here. But he says, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Now, They had some false teachers that were trying to seduce them away from the way of truth. So John is saying, look, you know, you don't need to listen to those people, you know, because they're not giving you the truth. Listen to the Holy Spirit. That's why I said to people, ask the Holy Spirit. Whatever answer he gives you, that's your answer. You know, now, the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and his truth, and is no lie, even as he hath taught you, you shall abide in him. So the Holy Spirit will teach you, give you all these things. There will be nothing that you can ask the Holy Spirit that he will tell you and give you the wrong answer, unless you are hearing it from your mind and not the Spirit of God. If you ask the Holy Spirit and he tells it to you, it will be as he wants you to know it. Guaranteed. No matter what this person preached or that person preached or you yourself even thought, the Holy Spirit tells it to you because Jesus said it himself. John chapter 16 and verse 13. The Spirit of truth is what he is called. And one of his roles when he appears is to guide you into all truth. You see, how be it? John 16 and 13. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's why I always say, ask the Holy Spirit. You can ask me and I'll tell you what I believe I know. You know, and I think also, Paul said, look, I think also I have the Holy Spirit. You were just trying to be humble. Well, I think also I have the Holy Spirit. And I will tell you the answer. But ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit and he will tell you, guide you into all truth. That's the final arbiter. The Holy Spirit, you need not that any man teach you anything. If you don't have the right teachers, then go to the Holy Spirit. And you have two persons claiming to be led by the Holy Spirit. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. If you have two or more persons claiming to be speaking under the Holy Spirit influence and being led of the Holy Spirit, and they are saying contrary things, one contrary to the other. Ladies and gentlemen, let me put it to you this way. Now, Holy Spirit cannot contradict himself. If Minister A says it this way, and Minister B says it the other way, and they are contrary one to the other, as one of two things. It's either they are both wrong, or at most, one of them is right. They can't both be right and be saying something contrary to each other. So, you know, that's a simple principle to go by. You know, if someone says it this way, and another person says it that way, and they all claim, you know, being led by the Holy Spirit, they all teach it from the scriptures. Everybody would teach this thing from the scriptures, one way or another. Everybody will have tons of scriptures to give to support their position, one way or another. Okay? Well, they can't all be right if they are different things that they are saying. You see that they are all wrong, or at most, one of them, I mean, let's say two of them, you know, just to keep it simple, if two are saying two different things, you know, they can't both be right. It's either at most one of them is right, or but they're both wrong, you know, because the Holy Spirit cannot contradict himself. So the bottom line in anything is ask the Holy Spirit and he will guide you into all truth. Jesus said that himself. Now, this is actually one of the most important roles of the Holy Spirit, quite unlike what people think. People think that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will speak with tongues. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit in your life, is to make you speak in tongues. You know, that's far from it. Jesus never said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will speak in tongues. He did say that all believers will speak with tongues. But he wasn't, when he was saying that, in Mark chapter 16, he wasn't necessarily saying it in the context of the Holy Spirit. You speak in tongues. He wasn't talking about the Holy Spirit. But all the times when he spoke about the Holy Spirit, he wasn't even talking about tongues. He said, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. You know, that's the role of the Holy Spirit. He will take of mine and will show you things to come. He said in, you know, John 14 and verse 26, he said, look, you know, I'll pray and the comfort, another comforter will come to you. He said, look, the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And that's another scripture. This is why I keep telling people, go to the Holy Spirit. The comforter shall teach you all things, you know, and bring to your remembrance those things which I already told you. You know, so that's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is one, teach you all things. It's the number one, the greatest teacher that we have now, you know, because Jesus physically is no more with us in the physical body that he walked the roads of Nazareth and Galilee and those days. He's now with us in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has taken that role to teach us all things. Now, fast forward to, this is John 14, 26. Fast forward to John 15, 26. One chapter later, same verse. John 15 and 26. He has another thing he says about the Holy Spirit. He says, you know, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father. Now remember, in the one place he said, the Father will send to you. In another place he said, I will send to you. You know, so every which way you look at it, Jesus actually lets the cat out of the bag. You say it one way, you say it another way, but he's saying the same thing. Sometimes you say, pray the Father, you know, in my name. Sometimes you say, ask me anything in my name. Yeah, it's all the same thing. Now, he said, look, when the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth. He's always called the Spirit of Truth because he is the one that will guide you into all truth. Not me, not any of your teachers. Now, if those teachers are truly filled with the Holy Spirit, they will speak the truth. And if they do not speak the truth, what should you do? Isaiah 8 and 20 gives you the golden rule. To the law and to the testimony. Check it out. If they are not speaking according to this word, then it is because there is no light in them. So get away from them. You know, but if they are led by the Holy Spirit, they will tell you the truth. And if two people are telling you what they claim to be truth and they are contrary, then go back to the Holy Spirit and try to figure it out for yourself. But you're going to have to figure it out for yourself. You know, so that's what the Holy Spirit, Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. It's called the Spirit of Truth. Again, in John 16, 13, it's called, again, the Spirit of Truth. It'll guide you into all truth and so forth. I mean, these are all the roles of the Holy Spirit, not just speaking in tongues, ladies and gentlemen. When he comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He's a teacher. He will teach you, show you things to come, teach you. The anointing you have received is no lie. Teach you all things. So that being said, I know I'm teaching now. I'm supposed to be answering a question, but I took the liberty to just teach, you know, this subject. Put it out there. Make sure everybody knows that it's your responsibility to figure it out on your own. Go to the Holy Spirit and figure it out, especially when people are saying it this way and saying it that way. If everybody is saying it the same way and that's what the Bible says, then you're good. But if there seems to be misunderstanding or confusion, the Holy Spirit is not the author of confusion. You know, you go to him, he will show it to you the way it should be. Now, sometimes you have to unlearn some of the things you've already learned. Because, you know, this, our human mind is funny at times. Now, many times people say the Lord told me something and it's just their mind. It's just their mind speaking to them. It's not exactly the Lord. The Lord would never tell you anything that's contrary to his word. You know, so, and sometimes if you say something, you know, told you, that something is not the Holy Spirit if what you were told was not according to the word. You know, so always go back to the word. And sometimes you got to get rid of some things. You know, you were brought up certain ways, you have certain traditions. You know, when you really want to learn, you know, Moses learned a lot of things for 40 years in Egypt. Well, God had to debunk many things out of him for another 40 years in the desert. Paul learned a lot of things from Gamaliel and the, you know, the Sadducees, the Pharisees and all these things and so forth. He was sharp, was shrewd. I mean, he knew many things according to the law. In fact, he said, according to the law, blameless. But God had to debunk some things from him 3 years in the backside of the desert. Had to figure some things out. Look, there are times it may be like that. And there will be times, you know, if you're sincere in your walk with God, there will be times the Holy Spirit will tell you, you're wrong. You know, and then, you know, sometimes it might be, you know, shocking when the Holy Spirit tells you that. Sometimes you might even be crushed if you've held on to something for a long time, you know, and then one day the Holy Spirit tells you point blank, you're wrong. You know, you believe it this way. And so, but the Holy Spirit is gentle like that. You know, even if he tells you you're wrong, he'll show you the truth. He won't just tell you you're wrong and then leave you to be in the wrong. He will show you that truth to guide you into all truth. That's what he does. So the truth on the water baptism thing is as follows. Baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit is the same thing as baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Got to be the same thing. That's my position. Number two, the fact that they actually did not use the phrase in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, but always use the phrase, the Lord Jesus, and so on when they baptize, gives you the real revelation behind it. You know, so now, what should I do then if I was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit? Should I be rebaptized? God didn't send me, give me an answer for that. You know, I was personally, but it's not a doctrine. You know, everything I do in my life is not necessarily a doctrine. That's just what I did. You know, so, you know, I was once baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost by somebody who was believed in the Trinity, you know, like that. And then when I figured it out, I said, you know, I don't want that kind of anointing on me. I want to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen in Acts 19 that some disciples were baptized first one way. Then later they come back and be baptized again before they receive the Holy Spirit. So it's scriptural. Some people done it. I did it. I'm not teaching that anybody should do it. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. You know, so, but you got to know what you are talking about. Now, if somebody were baptizing somebody else and they say this will be accurate. Let me say it to you this way. If you say, I baptize, of course, before people get baptized, they should be taught what it means. Okay. Now assume that they've been taught what it means. And if somebody says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, which name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and they baptize them, it'll be accurate. Now, if somebody said, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, it'll be accurate. Now, if somebody say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, you know, I mean, according to the scriptures, they're not wrong because it's in the scriptures, but they don't have a complete revelation, you know, because sometimes other things that God shows us in the scriptures help us to understand some statements which we may not understand. But they would not be wrong if they did that, because they can at least fall back on one scripture and say, this scripture says that, and that's why we did it that way. Well, okay. But check it out in the apostles. You know, there is a group that's called Apostolic Faith or whatever they're called. You know, they like to go back to the ways that the apostles did things in the old days. And they just say, well, this is the way they did it. That's the way we're going to do it. You know, so, but what is the Holy Spirit saying? Now, but let's talk about praying in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. That one is completely unscriptural. There is not a single scripture that says when you pray, you should pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That one scripture in Matthew 28:20 was not referring to prayer. You know, so that is even completely unscriptural. And some people actually enjoy it to do that when they want to do. I've seen it, you know, sadly, in close quarters, when it's time to do naming ceremony or dedication or water baptism, that's the time that this thing comes out even more. You know, they say, well, in the name of the Father and of the Son. And some people will even say, in the name of God the Father. I've heard people say that. And they were trying to dedicate a baby. In the name of God the Father, and the name of God the Son, and the name of God the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, what? You know, and every time I hear, I'm like, what nonsense is that? You know, I mean, there's not a single scripture for that. But yeah, people say it all the time. You know, everybody gets carried away with it. You know, I always shrink, you know, when I hear that. It's like, what? Why would anybody even say that? It's not even scriptural. It doesn't even make any sense. If you say God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, that's three different gods. There's no way you can call it out. And it doesn't make any sense. There's only one God. The Father of us all. And even the devil knows it in James chapter 2 and verse 19 and trembles. That devil believes there is one God, not three gods. I mean, so even if the devil knows that, why are we who say we are believers believing in three gods? I've heard people of the Muslim faith and some other faiths challenge me before and say, you guys believe in three gods. You know, and well, for the most part, they were right. Not me personally, but they were challenging the Christian faith, you know, but they said it to my face. Now, why is it that you guys believe in three gods? And I say, well, you know, some people may, I don't, you know, so I don't put myself in that category at all. Jesus said, look, if I say I do not know the Father, I'll be a liar like you because I know him because I came forth and proceeded out of him. So I don't put myself in the category of people who say three gods. Well, that's them, not me. Now, do I despise them? Of course not. They don't. That's the revelation they have. They will be responsible for their own revelation. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, you cannot boast about anything you have from the Lord because it is the Lord that gave it to you. Why is it that you boast of something you have received as if you did not receive it? If you have received it, then where is boasting then? If you receive a revelation from the Lord and somebody else doesn't have it, there's no boasting. You know, just walk softly and give glory to God that you know what the Lord wanted you to know. And to his master, he standeth or falleth. That's the way I see it. Now, that's different though when we are under the, you know, ministry platform. And somebody is trying to turn people's heads backwards and screw them up, then we got to stand up to that and straighten things out. That's the apostolic anointing. Sometimes you got to do that and straighten things out. But for the most part, we just let people be. You go figure it out, you know, with the Lord, and the Lord will help you. So being baptized into Christ means baptized into his body, you know, for there is one body, many members, but one body. You know, but the right way to be baptized, you know, let me make no mistake about it here. I've said a lot of things just so you think, what is he exactly saying? Because I'm just trying to balance this out. You know, I don't make issue about this. I don't go about preaching this thing. You know, got a lot of things the Lord will tell me to preach. Hardly, for the most part, not this. But the right way to be baptized is in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You know, that's the right way. You know, and in fact, you know, here's what the you know, the scripture says, you know, for us, you know, consider the scripture, and it might actually, you know, help you, you know. So if you look at, you know, what this scripture says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, well, it might help you. There are different ways to interpret this scripture, but you can also take it literally. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, whether prayer, whether water baptism, whether naming ceremony, whether christening a child, oh, I don't even know what that means. You know, whatever it is that you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So this scripture summarizes it all. If I will do water baptism, me personally, I baptize people. Many people, I'm not sent to baptize, but occasionally people say they don't want to be baptized. Fine. When I baptize them, I baptize them in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, that's it. Of course, before we do that, we explain it all to them. You know, so the scripture tells you, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that, you know, there you have it. Now, should we argue these scriptures? Absolutely not. You know, because, and some people know this thing, you know, for head knowledge and make argument about it. You know, here's what the scripture says to, you know, people like that. You know, you try to argue, you try to debate, you try to show that you know more than the other, you know. What does that say? You know, he said, look, you know, excuse me, for us to know things, sometimes it puffs us up. First Corinthians, you know, chapter 8, you know, and verse 1. Say, knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. You know, sometimes people get puffed up because of what they know. So let's not get puffed up one against another. Now, 1 Corinthians 8 verse 2 says, if any man thinks he knows anything, well, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. So this should be a guiding principle to us. Rather than argue, you know, just relax, you know, and come like a baby and let the Lord teach it to you. He says, he knows nothing yet as you ought to know. But if you love the Lord, the same is known of him. You know, so, you know, that's the summary. That's my summary on this subject. And I think we have covered it from every angle, you know. And the one thing, though, is for us to remember, each one of us will give account of ourselves to God. When you stand before the Lord and the books are opened and the Lord say, what, you know, why in the world did you do that? You know, you'll be speechless. And you try to say this and that, and other books will be opened and you will see. And we don't want the word of God that we have heard to be a witness against us. Because Jesus said, look, if you think I'll judge you, I'm not going to judge. The word that I speak will judge you. Now, we don't want the teachings that we've heard to judge us on that day. Let these teachings put you over. That's right. Make you an overcomer so that you can inherit the crown of glory. This is what the purpose is all about. Even myself, who I'm a teacher, my purpose is, look, you know, I will be the least in the kingdom if I teach these things and then I do the opposite, or I teach them and don't do them. So for me, I got to do the things also that I teach. And I got to know where the real power lies is in the name of Jesus Christ. That's where the power lies. There is no power in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. There's no power there. The name of Jesus is what puts the final, you know, nail in the devil's coffin. The devil trembles when he hears the name of Jesus Christ. Father doesn't mean anything. Son, Holy Ghost. Those are titles. But God has given Christ a name that is above every other name or title. It is above Father. It is above Son. It is above Holy Ghost. It is the name of Jesus, according to Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. This is a stone that was rejected. People have already rejected Christ, but he's the head of the corner. And that God has given him name. There's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's the name. You can't be saved any other way. And you should not be baptized. If you cannot be saved any other way than the name of Jesus, then you better not be baptized any other way than the name of Jesus. Because your baptism is a reflection of your salvation. That's it. You heard it now. You know, baptism is a reflection of our salvation. If the name to be baptized, according to Acts 4 and 12, is Jesus Christ. I mean, the name to be saved by is Jesus Christ. Then the name to be baptized by has to be Jesus Christ. Can't be any other way. But that being said, if you know all these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now, if I know what baptism should really be, if I know the oneness of the Godhead, if I know all these mysteries and I have not love, then I'm become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. This is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. Because love is what we need to one another. This is the commandment that we have from beginning. Love ye one another. Now, what about people who know all these mysteries, but yet their hands are not clean and their hearts are not pure before the Lord? You know, and I've known people, you know, I've known people that have said, well, we are the temple of the Lord. We are the bride. We are the elect. We are the cream of the crop. We are this and we are that. And yet they do not live a life that is pleasing to God. You can tell from their ways are crooked. But they are claiming to be, you know, the ones that have all the revelation. Well, let's see what Jeremiah says to them, and then I will yield my mic. Here's what Jeremiah says. You know, Jeremiah, he was one person that loved to call it out. And he said to them, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 7, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye Judah and all ye that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. You know, and I guarantee you, you know, this, no matter which house of the Lord that you are in, this applies. You come in to worship in the house of the Lord, worship at the temple of the Lord. He said, look, the Lord said, look, amend your ways and your doings, and then I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. You know, and I, you know, people have said that. You know, I've been around places where people always say, the temple, the temple, the temple. The Lord said, look, trust not in lying words. That temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, what's all that? You know, you must amend your ways and your doings. You must thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor. You must not express, you know, oppress the fatherless, the neighbor, this and this and this. And he told them all this thing. Neither walk after other gods in your heart. Clean up your ways. Don't just come here and say, oh, you know, we're the elect. You know, John said, look, if you begin to say, John the Baptist, if you begin to say that we have Abraham to our father, God can of these stones raise up, you know, children to Abraham, can do it too. So let's not label ourselves with, oh, we are the elect, we are the this, we are the that, we know this, we know that. What does that mean? You know, walk humbly before the Lord. Hear the end of the matter. What does God require of thee, O man? But that you should walk humbly before the Lord. You know, that's what he requires of you. So it's not a thing to be prideful about. It's not a thing to argue about. is a thing to walk in his ways and to love him. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 11. Verse 12. And now, Israel, and now I say, O you children of the Lord, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But for you to fear the Lord, to walk in his ways, to love him, and to serve him. Isn't that what we have been talking about in this series? You know, love him and serve him with all your heart and with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I commanded this day for thy good. Now, see, that's where the Lord wants us to be. That's the end of the whole matter. Let's hear the end of the whole matter. Is for us to love the Lord, walk humbly before him, etc. Not to worry about all these other things. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. The Lord has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. You know, this is what the Lord requires of us. Men and brethren, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the matter. And we must walk humbly before the Lord. No matter what we think we know or don't know, walk humbly before the Lord. I'm going to pray over the room and then we'll come back to more reactions. Father, I thank you for everyone that is listening. And I believe the Lord has spoken to us the words of truth, as he always does. Now I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will give us understanding. According to the words of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, 12 and verse 13. Men and brethren, ladies and gentlemen, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Every secret thing, whether it be good or evil, God will check it out, will find it out, and he will expose it finally. So, Lord, I thank you. I give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.